you have an adequate food storage supply and use My Patriot Supply. These are great folks I've started working with. They've helped me plan for an emergency. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be difficult. In fact, with this first step, you can make any crisis seem like an inconvenience. Get each person in your household a two-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're only $67. That's it. $67 for 2 weeks of food that lasts up to 25 years. Call now, 888-524-6540, or use the special website, preparewithwayne.com. Preparewithwayne.com. Do it today and prepare so you can feed your family when a crisis strikes. 888-524-6540. 888-524-6540 or preparewithwayne.com.
President Trump told reporters on Friday that a date and location had been decided for his summit with the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and will be announced very soon. And as that expected summit nears, some lawmakers, including some Republicans, are voicing some concerns.
You can hope for the best, but we have to prepare for the worst.
That's Republican Congressman Mac Thornberry of Texas saying he doesn't trust North Korea to completely denuclearize.
I'm very skeptical. What it also means is inspections to make sure they do not restart a program.
He was speaking on Fox News Sunday. President Trump's calling on voters in West Virginia not to vote for Don Blankenship in tomorrow's Republican Senate primary, saying on Twitter that Blankenship is unelectable and would make it more difficult to defeat Democratic incumbent Joe Manchin. Blankenship's a former coal CEO. He did time in jail in connection with the 2010 Upper Big Branch mine disaster where 29 miners died. This is USA Radio News.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers' rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
The president's nominee to lead the CIA, Gina Haspel, has reportedly offered to withdraw her nomination amid many lawmaker concerns about her role in interrogation programs.
Post 9/11, she oversaw secret CIA detention facilities in Thailand, and she was involved in the CIA's destruction of more than 100 videotapes that recorded such interrogations. Former Assistant Defense Secretary Lawrence Korb says Haspel was only one part of the CIA's team.
Not so much her, it's a lot of the policies of previous administrations that are really on trial here. She just happens to be the person that people can use to raise these issues about which they're very, very concerned.
I'm Wendy King.
Experts are worried about a potential yellow fever outbreak in the United States. Doctors say they're concerned the yellow fever that's killed hundreds in Brazil could spread here soon. Just like the Zika outbreak from 2 years ago, yellow fever is spread by mosquitoes, though yellow fever is even deadlier than Zika. The big weekend box office winner has also set a bigger record.
This does put a smile on my face.
Avengers Infinity War crossing $1 billion earned worldwide on Saturday, and that did set the record as the fastest that a film has ever reached that milestone. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Miola with Nutrimost of Flemington, and we are at Get Healthy Hunterdon. Let's get to the weather here and see exactly what's going on here. This afternoon, slight chance of showers, partly cloudy with a high near 70 degrees. Northeast winds around 6 mph, and a chance of precipitation is around 20%. that wind is going to be blowing around those darn pollens and stuff, and you're wondering what are the ones that are out there right now. We have a very high alert with trees and a moderate alert for grasses and stuff. That's going to be a very, very noticeable and stuff. Within the next week or two, you're going to see some clouds coming off the soft needled pine trees and stuff. I've got them on three sides of my property, and it looks like a dust storm when that starts blowing and all. So for those of you that suffer, you know, it's always good to seek good health and stuff. One of the things that we generally start to do in January, February is start having 1 teaspoon of local raw honey, and that helps to get your immune system beefed up a little bit for those pollens and those allergens that are coming around there and all. So, again, we always like to do those kind of things and be proactive instead of reactive to those kind of things. All right, so we're going to take a little commercial break, and we will be right back here.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselors Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Miola at Get Healthy Hunterdon, and we're with Nutrimost of Flemington. We've had so many amazing people on, and I've got a new one for you today and stuff. We have Nina White from Bullink Dairy and Bakehouse, and you're never going to guess where she's located. She is located in Milford, New Jersey, right around the corner from us all here. So first of all, I'd like to invite you to our show, and why don't you talk to our audience a little bit and welcome you.
Right. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very pleased to be here, and it's a gorgeous day. It is spring, and it is a fantastic time at Bobolink Dairy and Bakehouse because we've got young calves being born, the grasses are up, we don't have to feed hay anymore. Our cows are grazing on the pastures, and it's a great time to be in farming.
Now, this is one of the interesting things. We're starting to see a common thread with a lot of our guests and all, and they're all talking about being regenerative farming and all, and you also are part of that movement and stuff now.
Absolutely. And just to define regenerative farming for a moment, regenerative farming is when the practices build the soil, build the root structure, infrastructure below the soil to hold the nutrients, hold the water in, so that whatever you're growing there is going to grow well and be able to tolerate changes in weather. So when we bought our farm in 2010, it had been in a corn-soy rotation for about 50 years. And in that process, herbicides are applied in order to suppress other plants from growing around the corn and the soy. And when it rains, the rain just makes all the nutrients wash off the top of that soil, and there was flooding. There was a gully that got carved out of the hillside within 50 years. Mm. Once we moved in, planted grasses and a mix of grasses started to come up once we stopped applying herbicides. We have this wonderful root matrix that is holding the water, and where Stamets Road used to close regularly because of rain and flooding, now that water stays up the hill and our water table is rising. It's a wonderful thing.
Isn't that something in just simple farming, going back to the farming that you learned how to do and everything works out well? We saw this also happening with George Lake out at State College, Pennsylvania with Thistle Farm. And he said, you know, when he came in, he started putting a variety of different grasses into the area. He moved the cattle around so they weren't digging up all the grass with their hooves and stuff, but they were breaking it up so that the water would get into it and stuff instead of running off.
Absolutely. And the advantage of having a polyculture on a pasture, many different types of plants growing together, means that you have different depths of root. And those different depths of root can bring nutrient up from the lower subsoil, and it also provides a really nice deep matrix to hold water and nutrient, and then all the beautiful microorganisms that can grow in amongst that variety. And in addition, when you have all different plants working together, there's always something for the cows to eat. Because if it's dry, one of the deeper rooted grasses will still be beautiful and successful, and if it's wet, some of the shallower rooted plants will be successful. So there's always this wonderful interdependence.
And we're not talking like a small, you know, mom and pop or a little like 5 to 10 acre farm here and all. How big is your farm over there?
We are fortunate to have 187 contiguous acres. Of that 187 contiguous acres, 35 acres are managed woodlot, and the rest is pasture.
Pasture and stuff. See, yes. So you understand the whole ecosystem that goes along with the different layers of grassing and stuff, the different root systems and all, crop rotation and stuff probably goes up, moving the cattle around and things like that.
Absolutely. We do a practice which is called intensive rotational grazing. And what that means is we'll give the cows an area to graze, to eat, that will last them around 24 hours. And after about 24 hours, we want to move them to the next section for two reasons. One is so that they'll get the best grasses, and also they can let their byproducts, manure and urine, can soak down into the soil and nourish the grasses again, and that will give the grasses some time to recover. So it's best for the cows to move away from what they've left for about 3 weeks so the sun and the natural microbes can break that down. And if there's anything that's pathogenic to the cow, it can also be eliminated during that time, that 3 week resting period. Mm-hmm. So the resting period benefits the cow and it benefits the grasses.
That's incredible. And this is exactly what George Lake was talking about. And as far as, you know, moving the animals so that the parasites that they would normally have to do in antibiotics to and treat the cattle and things like that, you don't have to because they're not there when they come around the next round and all.
Exactly. It's better to keep things moving and keep the cows, even in winter, we don't put them inside. They are designed and bred to be healthy outside year-round, because when you have any microbe or person or animal in stagnant air, they will get sick. And,
right.
You know, even in winter, even when it's really cold, we have to get outside.
Mm-hmm.
And breathe
exactly.
Some fresh air.
Now, this was interesting. You said that you have your cattle and stuff are bred specifically, or you've got a specific breed and stuff that you like to use there on the farm?
We actually created a crossbred cow called a bobolink grazer. And our journey with our cow breeding program began when we first decided to become farmers, and we're relatively new farmers. Jonathan and I left other careers to become farmers in 2002. And when we anticipated getting cows to make cheese and to prove that 100% grass-fed raw cow's milk cheese is the wave of the future, which it is, Jonathan bid on eBay for a book about animal husbandry before World War I.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And interestingly, it has chapters on the diseases of cattle. And every chapter began with, you will most likely see this in your highest producing animal. And think about it. When we are very busy, when we're getting a lot done, we'll often get sick because we're pushing ourselves just a little too hard. So when you think about a cow who's been bred to make a ton of rich milk, no matter what's going on, that cow will unfortunately be stressed by her natural genetic predisposition to literally make milk off the fat on her back at times. So what we decided was we were going to get low-producing cows and trust that the cow would live longer and thrive in an outdoor situation. And so we got some outdoor small cows, and even some of the smaller Guernseys, the smaller Jerseys, still were relatively highly producing. Fortunately, we were given the gift of a small herd of the Kerry cow. The Kerry cow originates in Ireland, and she's not very good at anything, neither milk nor meat. So no one ever selected her for optimized meat or optimized milk. So what do you get? You get a really smart cow. You get a lovely cow who's good out in nature, who can defend her calf. You get a gentle bull who doesn't feel threatened by anything, so he's not going to charge at you. And you get an animal that stays in balance with nature. And it's a beautiful thing. So we have crossed the Kerry into all of our cows, so we have quite a mix. And at this point, our herd is generally, they're around 700-800 pounds. They are not very tall. They have short, sturdy legs. And some are black, some are brown. We have a few very light cows, but very few, because that's the Guernsey Ayrshire heritage. Mm-hmm. And the herd is doing very well. We closed our herd in about 2008. We decided that we didn't want to buy any more cows. And each season, we just select two bulls based on good behavior to go and get to be the daddies of the herd for that season.
Isn't that something? We're going to take a little commercial break, and we're going to come right on back with that. So hold on, everybody.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honoring Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
We are back, and we are with Nina White from the Bobo Link Farms in Milford, New Jersey. So off air, we were talking about this incredible breed that they have been putting together here. Not so big, not so short, not so high production in milk, but they're happy, and they do the job that they were designed to do and all. So tell us more about that, and what else you have on this farm that you've got out there in Milford.
So we are growing these cows, and they produce pretty little milk for a dairy cow. They're making between 5 and 10 liters a day, and we milk once a day so that they can spend most of their time grazing, which is their job. And so daily, we are milking the cows and making 100% grass-fed raw cow's milk cheeses. Now, it shouldn't be such an original thing, 100% grass-fed raw cow's milk cheese, but unfortunately it is in America. And so my husband, Jonathan, designed a number of cheeses that are totally unique types. One is called Drum because it's round like a drum. And another is called Jean-Louis because it's named after Jonathan's mentor, Jean-Louis Paladin, who was a really great chef. We also have cheddars from some Amish colleagues who also are practicing 100% grass-fed raw methodology as our herd grows, because we have closed the herd and we're just waiting for those babies to get born. And at this point, we think we may be milking 60 cows this season. But mind you, those are low-producing cows. So anyway, daily we are milking those cows, letting the milk ripen with beneficial microbes in that milk, adding a small amount of real animal rennet, and that turns into curds and whey. We cut the curds. We ladle the curds into molds. That drains. What drains off is the whey. The whey is kind of a water, but it still has a tremendous amount of nutrient in it. And so we decided a few years in, rather than treat that whey as waste, treating chemically as sewage, we would put it in a waste disposal system, which is pigs. So when you think about it, generations ago, Parma ham and Parmigiano Reggiano were raised together as an interrelated system. If you had cheese making, you had pork production. So we have reunited those industries farm. So the number of pigs we raise is dictated by the amount of cheese we make.
Oh, okay.
So this year we're raising 12 pigs, which we purchased from an Amish colleague. Very lovely and adorable old spot. Gloucester Old Spot mixed with Tamworth, and you can watch them on the Bobolink Dairy and Bakehouse YouTube channel.
Excellent.
Which doesn't have that much on it yet, but you can see cute pigs running on this cute little video at the Bobolink Dairy and Bakehouse YouTube channel. Anyway, so they will drink whey and also eat any bruised apples, kitchen scraps, leftover bread from the bakery. My credo is, if I won't eat it, they won't eat it. So we raise them until, in the summer, we harvest 2 pigs for a pig roast, which we'll be having throughout the summer.
Oh, okay.
We'll do 2 pig roasts, and then the rest of them we raise to about 300 pounds and have them harvested and butchered in retail cuts. And it is the best, just the best. And from time to time, I will order pork at a restaurant, and I'm sorry to say, I'm always disappointed because between the ancient genetics of the pigs and the diet that they live on, it really makes a superior pork.
Isn't that something? Just knowing the history of the animal, knowing the breed and what it's good for, what it's not as good for and stuff, you put all these scientific things together and stuff and produce an amazing system that's going on out there and all. That's incredible.
Exactly. And people say, you know, well, the pork is really good. Why don't you make more? Well, it's good because it's made in balance in a circle of products that are interdependent on the farm. We also raise chickens for eggs because I make pasta with heirloom wheat, and I want that to be free-range, soy-free eggs.
Excellent. Otherwise,
I don't want to do it.
Right.
You know, and I put also that quality of egg into, I do make cookies on the farm. I fear not sugar. I fear too much sugar.
There we go. That's always good.
Good sugar with really good 100% grass-fed cultured butter.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can eat two cookies and then go do what needs to be done.
There you go. Now, these chickens that you have on the farm and stuff like that, any particular specialty with those?
Well, we're still experimenting with the breeds of the chickens. We do like to choose chickens that do well outside and can fend for themselves pretty well. I did last season purchase some silver spangled Hamburgs, and I tell you folks, do not get them for your house. They are crazy. I have a photo of my silver spangled Hamburg in my peach tree, eating peaches on the tree.
Oh, geez.
Chickens are not supposed to do that. So they are so natural, we're calling them the dinosaurs. I think we're going back to Americanas and some Buff Warpingtons
for the season. You've got cattle, you've got pigs, you've got chickens that you raise and stuff. You have a market or some outlet that you use with all this?
Yes. So we have a store on the farm that's open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 12 to 6, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 5. And on Saturdays and Sundays, we do tours at 2 o'clock, unless there's like a hurricane or something.
Mm-hmm.
We also go to 7 farmers markets a week.
Wow, that is a breakneck schedule.
It's pretty big, but I'm a former choreographer, so I'm up to the task. And, you know, as a dancer and choreographer, I figured out how to make everybody's steps work out pretty well. You know, you go here at that speed and you go there at that speed. And at this point, we're in a very nice rhythm with all of our markets.
Mm-hmm.
So we do across the street from Lincoln Center on Thursdays and Saturdays.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
We do Union Square on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturdays, we also do Sparta, New Jersey, which is near our old location because we began farming in 2002 to 2010 on a leased farm in Vernon.
Oh, okay.
So we do Sparta Farmers Market on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We do Pleasantville, New York, which is near where I used to teach ballet. So people are still going to buy Miss Nina's cheese and bread. And we also, previous to becoming farmers, had a dairy in Peekskill, New York, where we made cheese and butter and clabber cream and ice cream using commercially produced milk once upon a time.
Right.
But we wanted to be 100% grass-fed. We wanted to get really deeper into our raw materials. And when you want 100% grass-fed milk, you got to do it yourself.
Right, exactly. So you've really gone through a whole learning experience and a whole growth process with this and all to arrive where you're at now and stuff. And this is on the heels of a movement that's hopefully going to be happening not just here in Huntington County but across the United States about getting to know the farmer. When you know the farmer, you know the food that you're getting and all. And we were talking about that off air and all.
Yeah, well, Jonathan and I are, you know, we're either on the leading edge or the bleeding edge. But we really felt that the skills that we had from other things that we had done would be useful in moving this endeavor forward. And being able to make the connections, figure out what the tasks are, and then move forward on them. For instance, with the grains, when Jonathan and I first started baking breads, each of us on our own in the 70s, the wheat that you could get and the grains that you could get in general were old before you even began.
Right.
And so we did, I mean, one of our first conversations was, you bake bread? Me too. You make yogurt in a bain-marie on your tenement stove in New York City? So do I. So we were both big kitchen people from the very start, right from scratch, everything from scratch. But at this point, my grains are coming from even Milford. There is an organization called River Valley Community Grains, which was founded with the purpose of helping farmers who are currently in corn-soy rotation to change back over to small grains for local consumption. So the small grains being wheat, oats, rye, And corns, but not corn towards the large industry corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup, but rather more for grinding into flour to mm-hmm. be eaten on site. So it's a wonderful thing because, unfortunately, the things you need to do a corn-soy rotation optimally would be nitrogen-based fertilizers, which can run off into our waterways, application of herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides to let that crop be successful because the genetics of those seeds have been optimized for fast growth and high yield. And it's the same as my cows. When you have something that's going to grow fast and yield a lot, it's going to be weak.
Exactly, yeah.
And we don't want weak plants. We want strong plants that don't need to be coddled in this way and don't need extra applications.
Right.
So in showing landowners or people who rent land that there are crops they can grow without the need for all these inputs that can be dangerous to the environment and to themselves. But here's the catch. When you have an older type of genetic, it might vary from season to season. Now, just like the wine grape, when it's in a wine grape, we celebrate what's called terroir. Each season's harvest is different and it's valued.
Oh, very much so, yes.
So what I'm trying to show as a baker is that we can value variations in our small grains as well. Now, that means our bakers have to get smarter again.
Mm-hmm.
They have to know what they're looking at in that mixing bowl. And they have to have a better relationship, a closer relationship with their miller. People such as Mark Fisher down at Castle Valley Mill.
Right.
So that we can relocalize all of our food system. And, you know, people say, oh, that's so expensive. It is so expensive to get sick.
I can tell you it's incredibly expensive, yeah.
And if we can return our society to the pleasures of the kitchen, I work hard, and I'm lucky to be in an industry where my office happens to be the back room of my own home. I'll grant you that. But when I worked outside the home and had three small children, who, by the way, are on the autistic spectrum, I had to get real smart about how I ran my kitchen.
Mm.
And we need to think about tomorrow's dinner tonight and get those beans soaking.
Exactly.
Let them simmer while you're getting dressed the next morning. Turn that off, let it coast for the rest of the day, and then it's ready in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
If you make soup, you make 2 gallons of soup and put 1.5 gallons away. We have to give ourselves that gift because we enjoy it as much in the making as we do in the eating. So I think that we can find ways to economize and participate in our local economy by buying grains that were grown in your neighborhood from someone who milled it in your neighborhood, or buy a bread that was made from those raw materials.
Right, exactly. And again, that's the common thread and theme that we're getting more and more from people that are getting away from the big, large-scale, high-volume type of thing and getting more, not so much high volume, but now they're getting more quality of what they're producing and stuff. And so you're getting a better food source from that and all. And that's incredible that you're at so many different farm markets and things like that. Here in Hunterdon County, are you locally anywhere
here?
Oh,
yes. I'm sorry. I was listing. You know, so there's so many of them.
Yeah.
So in the region, I am at the DeVore Farmers Market. That's sponsored by the Hunterdon Land Trust that helped to preserve our farm.
Oh, okay.
And that market is opening for the full season on Sunday, May 20th.
Oh, okay, right around the corner.
8:30 to 1, so all it's right. Very soon. And we bring our full complement of products.
Okay, and your full complement of products includes what then? Our listening audience be able to see?
Yes, so we will have about 22 different breads. And we will have our cheeses. We usually bring about 7 different cheeses, both the cheeses we make on our farm and the cheeses that are made by Amish folks that we collaborate with. We also bring 100% grass-fed, vat-pasteurized, non-homogenized milk.
Okay.
And chocolate milk.
chocolate milk.
And
okay.
buttermilk, which is real churn buttermilk. So it's not that cultured skim milk that's kind of weird and a lot of people don't like that's from the supermarket. This is actually what is left in the churn after the butter is made.
Isn't that something?
And we bring 100% grass-fed cultured butter. So that means that the cream was actually cultured like a yogurt, tangy flavor before the butter was made. So it's deep. It's life-changing. You will not be able to do without it. It's okay because you can eat less of it and be more satisfied.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is one of my personal principles. The other thing that we bring to the DeVore Farmers Market is our 100% grass-fed beef. And hold on to your hats, pastured suckled veal. So,
oh my gosh.
Many, many dairy farmers separate their calves from their moms immediately upon birth and then feed them calf starter and separate them from each other in little huts. And it's really very, very sad. And then the males are sold into confinement farming, and it's a very, very sad thing. Mm. And I really, I personally had stopped eating veal because industrial veal is a cruel and terrible practice that we need to be against. Our pastured suckled veal is with their mom their entire life, playing in the sun, living the good life, getting nourished. Mm-hmm. And then we can't keep all the boys, unfortunately.
Right, yeah.
They will fight each other. It's not a good thing. So we do decide who is going to go, and they have a short trip, and then they come back as Osabuco and and Blanquette DeVoe and all those wonderful things. We figured out the price based on how much of the milk they get.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's not a bargain.
Right.
But it is it's profoundly delicious, and it's also a protest against the industrial version of that food. And it's proving that in a thoughtful and what I think is an ethical cycle of animal husbandry, it's a really great product.
Wow. That's incredible. Just today I was on the internet and stuff, and a med thing that I read a lot and stuff, and they said of the almond crop and stuff, only 30% is actually consumed and stuff with the nut itself. The other 70% is the shell, and they said, what can we do with the shell? They have mounds and mountains of this and all. And what they were doing was feeding it to livestock and stuff. They'd slap some molasses on it, and in the old wares and things like that, cows would eat almost anything as long as it had molasses on it and all. So you could get rid of a variety of different things. And so now what they're doing is they're squeezing it. They're doing some sort of a chemical breakdown on it, and they're making coffee and tea now out of almonds. The shells and things like I'm thinking. So we're going from, like, you know, covering up, you know, something that doesn't have any nutritional value. Now we're going to put it back into humans. What new disease or disease are we going to start generating and all? And I love this idea about, you know, you allowing the young offspring to stay with the mother and stuff until it's time to either stop, you know, suckling or to move on to the next level and things like that. That is incredible. Now, you keep referring to your kitchens and things. Do you offer classes or do you do cooking or baking or something there at your farm?
Yes. So actually, this weekend, you could take a charcuterie class with my husband, Jonathan, because we value every single life of every single animal. So we save all the parts. Mm-hmm. And what charcuterie is actually is all the parts chopped up in little bits and then reformed into something amazing and delicious. So on the table right now, we have Jonathan's lactic cured salami. So this is actually a raw food because the beneficial microbes in the whey actually cure the meat slowly over time.
Isn't that something?
So you're going to learn a lot of science of food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun, and you get to work with cool choppers and
tools
stuffers.
Mainly tools and stuff.
Choppers and stuffers. So we will probably be making some salami and some sausage and some pate.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So that's this week. I offer a bread baking class about once a month, and that would be on a Sunday afternoon when the oven is at the right temperature.
Oh my!
Because we use a single chamber wood fired oven. And you can't just turn the switch and have it be at the right temperature.
Right.
That's actually three layers of masonry that have to be heated mm-hmm. by burning wood in the single chamber or room. Then you rake out the coals, and then you're baking on the bricks in the same chamber.
So is that any particular ethnic style of cooking and things like that?
Or
is it something that you guys have developed?
Well, our bread recipes are our own exploration.
Okay.
Very much ingredient driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, a new type of wheat that I haven't tried? Let's see what I can do with it.
And I have to tell you that when Nina came up the stairs and stuff, she was dragging this bag full of food and things for me to take a look at. And there's a mountain of different products that they produce and stuff between her and I on the table here and all.
Yeah. So bread baking classes. And then you can also take a cheese making class with Jonathan. And that is limited to 4 people per day when you go. And that starts at 8 in the morning. And you start with going up the hill to get the cows. You get to be there when the cows are being milked. And we don't generally bring the public in when the cows are being milked because, as I said before, they are kind of semi-wild.
Sure.
And so they don't like a lot of people gawking. Mm. And they certainly don't want strangers to be milking them.
Yeah.
So in the cheesemaking class, you get to do the whole cheesemaking thing. And so you also get to have lunch with us, whatever happens to be cooking that day. And about 2 months later, you can bring your cheese home. Warning. If you don't know this already, raw cheese cannot be sold until it is 60 days old.
Why is that?
That is a law that was put in place in the 1920s as the whole idea of bacteriological activity, and in particular, at that time, there was tuberculosis, both in the cows who were now inside and the dairy workers who were now inside. And often the dairies were near distilleries, and the mash was fed to the cows, and the distillates were drunk by the dairy workers. And it just was not a healthy population.
Not at all.
You know, it's later been shown that it's a different strain of tuberculosis between in the humans and in the cows. Wow. However, the laws about pasteurization and about how long you have to age something in order to make sure that any kind of pathogen might be aged out.
Oh, okay.
That law has not changed.
Yeah.
I personally drink the raw milk from my cows every day, because it's an exceedingly healthy environment.
Right.
And I would really love for people to be able to drink raw milk in New Jersey sometime down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe quite firmly that we have to look at the animal husbandry.
It's such a key thing here, not just here in Hunterdon County or New Jersey and stuff, but across the country and stuff. It's got to be taken care of. We're going to go take a little commercial break, and we'll be right back. You hang around?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Very good.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9800.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate, you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we are back with Get Healthy Hunterdon, and this is Dr. Miola, and we have a wonderful guest that you've been listening to and stuff. This is Nina White from the
Bobolink Dairy and Bakehouse.
Bobolink Dairy Bakehouse.
It's a long name, like, but we have to let people know what they're going to find.
So off air, we were talking about the wheat dairy, 100% grass-fed dairies that go on, and it's just incredible the science that this woman has at her disposal. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, there's actually, in 100% grass-fed, there are a couple of really important points. When you have 100% grass-fed cheese or meat, that is so totally different from cheese or meat. And we forget that cows are ruminants. They're only supposed to have grass. So the milk that's produced by a 100% grass-fed cow is going to be high in omega-3s. And in season, that's going to be golden yellow with all the carotene that came from the grass. So it's actually healthy for you. People look and say, oh, I can't have cheese. My doctor said to keep away from cholesterol. I can't have cheese. I'm not supposed to have a lot of salt. When you have a flavorful, vibrant milk turned into a flavorful, vibrant, beneficial bacteria cheese, that is so good for you. And in this allergy season, I make sure I'm eating my cheese every day because those beneficial bacteria actually help me to feel less allergic because the cows are eating these fresh grasses and the wild garlic, and all of that is going into the cheese. So it's good for you. Eat it. 100% grass-fed beef, same thing. The fats are high in omega-3s, and they're beneficial to your cholesterol. The good fats give you good energy and help you synthesize your fat-soluble vitamins. You need to eat these foods. These are not things to stay away from. Right. Don't put a big steak front and center. You have, you know, steak is like a third of the plate or something ground or something braised. It can be on a third of the plate with a nice complex carbohydrate and a beautiful vegetable at the same time. These are really important things. We are omnivores. We need these things. Almonds just don't cut it. I like almonds. I snack on almonds. I love almond cookies. Mm-hmm. But to be getting all of your proteins from that, and it's actually, I don't think it's a really sustainable form of protein as much as grazed cattle is. So the other thing that cows have been accused of lately is the methane problem. And I just want to make sure we understand cows do not eat grass. Cows ingest grass. And there are beneficial microbes in their gut, in their rumen, in their four stomachs. There are beneficial microbes that live on the sugars from the grass. And their byproducts nourish the cow. That's how it goes. And that's, you know, deer and all these other ruminants are living this way. Now, if you want your cow to make more, you can give her corn, cottonseed, or soy. And her beneficial microbes will not be able to digest that. And the stomach throws in some more acid, which is probably giving this cow a stomach ache. And the acid kills the beneficial bacteria. Well, there is a bacteria that loves an acid environment, and without competition from the beneficial microbes, right, that microbe E. coli will be very, very happy and will multiply and get the other hand. And guess what? Coming out the other end, you got your methane. It is not the cow's fault. If we stopped giving corn, cottonseed, and soy to our cows, the whole problem with E. coli outbreaks in our food system would be gone.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You know, people say, how are you going to feed the whole world this way? Well, we're not doing a real good job right now. And with our water problems, this is the most water-efficient system of growing food.
Mm.
And if you're growing vegetables, you need the byproducts of the cow and the healthy cow to feed your soil. So to me, it's a win-win. The other thing that I want to bring up is that I am using wheat. I am not a gluten-free bakery. Let me tell you my very brief story. Is that I think that early hunter-gatherers liked the way they felt when they ate the seeds of various grasses, and then they would keep those seeds and then broadcast them the next year so that those grasses would grow again. That's how we got what is now today modern agriculture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a grass called goatgrass that early hunter-gatherers did not select, probably because it gave them a stomach ache. And then in the whole hybridization system of trying to make more and more bushels of wheat per acre, we got that wheat berry, that seed, bigger and bigger and bigger until this tall grass and wheat amber waves of grain.
Oh.
Wheat is tall. It's 4 feet tall, 7 feet tall even.
Mm-hmm.
But if that tall wheat falls over because the seed is too heavy for the stalk, you can't harvest it. Your seed, your product, your crop has fallen into the dirt, and it's really hard to clean and use. So scientists say, okay, we've got the solution. We're going to make the wheat shorter. And they take the genetics from the goat grass that early hunter-gatherers never selected, and they breed that in. And it looks like wheat, and it tastes like wheat, and it kind of acts like wheat. But it has a genetic element, and this is 99% of the world's wheat supply. You know, it seemed like a real boon that we were going to be able to feed everybody with this, but it's giving us all a stomach ache, and it's giving us, I think, very bad energy. It makes your blood sugar soar up really quick, and then you crash down less than an hour later. So the wheats that I use are all 4 feet tall and taller.
Oh, okay.
So what I can tell my customers now with confidence is that if you're gluten sensitive, you may well be just fine with my grains. So I'm kind of excited because I've been saying this since 2006, and I say, please, 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 if you don't feel good, please email me. Please write me. I want to know. And so far, I have not had one comment. I've had a few people who actually had celiac who were like, I couldn't resist. I wanted it so badly. I ate it anyway, and I was fine.
Isn't it a surprise, right?
I mean, when somebody tells me they have celiac, I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to tell you to eat this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody to stop breathing or get really sick.
Right.
I really don't. However, I think there's really something different in these raw materials that I'm able to get thanks to these growers who were willing to take the risk to change the way they did things.
Right.
To change back to an older rubric. I'm using some wheats that the Red Fife is documented at least back to 1842. 1842, people have been eating this stuff since then. And we're fine. And it tastes good. It makes a really nice, dense, chewy, nutty bread.
Mm.
And then you know you've eaten.
Right. That,
instead of, you know, something? Fluffy soft, you know, the fluffy soft is kind of fun.
The Wonder Bread.
Right. Wonder Bread with a fluffer nutter. Yeah. I ate a lot of those too in the 60s. Thank you very much. But if you want to know that you've had something to eat, and then even if you get a little hungry, you still have good energy and you can do what needs to be done, these are the foods for you.
Right. And it's such a big difference between going with like natural whole food grain sources and stuff, as opposed to the products that we've bleached and refined and everything and added and taken away all the nutrients that go into it. And that's why we're starting to develop all these different side effects and stuff with disease that leads to the diseases that we're having and all.
Absolutely. They have the words, but not the music.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And stuff.
And I think it's some, there are elements in the naturally grown foods that are grown in vibrant, lively soil. There are elements that we can't measure yet, but they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the music.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we look at with our program and stuff, the resonating frequencies and stuff. And they see it in, you know, anything that's alive, plants, animals, us, even humans and things like that. So with the few minutes that we have left, this hour flew by and stuff. We're going to have you back again. How can the radio audience really get to hold of you and stuff? You had mentioned YouTube. You had mentioned your Facebook, upcoming events and stuff like that. You have some things going on at the farm?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is www.cowsoutside.com. And we mean it, cows outside. And make sure it's plural, many cows outside. Also, on my Facebook page and through my online farm store link on cowsoutside.com, you can get to my special events. We are having Nebodach, a six-man Celtic band with electricity, on Sunday, May 27th, and we'll be grilling up our own house-smoked kielbasa.
Oh, my gosh.
On a local grain roll with some wonderful pickled peppers from our colleagues at Oasis at Bird in Hand in Bronx, Pennsylvania. And that's going to be really, really fun. Rain or shine, we set up a tent. Bring your blankets. Bring your kids. Bring a bottle. Please don't bring your dog.
Okay.
And then we'll also have, for the fourth time, Flemington-based Some Like It Hot Club. And they play gypsy jazz.
Oh, wow.
They are coming on August 12th. And we'll be doing a pig roasted in the kahachina, or Chinese box. And that's sort of like a Hawaiian pig roast.
Oh,
absolutely
okay.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And that's served on a garlic duck fat ciabatta. Mm. And then September 2nd, we have samba and jazz with a former employee, Dave Stolars, who's an amazing keyboardist, and he's going to invite some friends along. Music is free. You buy your food. We have a great time.
Excellent.
See you there.
Wonderful. Well, we've about run out of time. So, again, I know the audience and I are going to invite you back again. We've got to have more airtime with you and all. So, again, how can everybody get a hold of you? Your website again?
www.cowsoutside.com or 908-86-GRASS.
There we go. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Iran got most of the benefit up front with relief of sanctions and a plane load of cash that President Obama sent over there.
President Trump has till this coming Saturday, May 12th, the waiver deadline to decide what the United States will do about the deal. This is USA Radio News.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for $19.99, plus shipping and handling. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone, and enter the secret code 3000. But hurry! This incredible deal expires this Friday. With fresh flowers, guaranteed delivery, and unique vases and accessories that mom will love, Pro Flowers has everything you need to get your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms you know. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings.